Side 2, Braille and Speak Classic Tutorial Cassette, continuing with reading activities. The first space is entered in a storage register, and the second space releases it as a total character. Now, if I want to use a chord, I press the space, then the O, 1.3.5, in the space again. And now the T for time, 2, 3, 4, 5, and a space.
The time is 8:31 p.m.
And that's how it works. Some people have found the one-hand mode useful if they want to read Braille with one hand and write something into the Braille and Speak with the other. To turn one-hand mode off, you simply turn the machine off, hold down dot 3 as you turn it on.
Braille and Speak Classic ready, work one page.
The next command in the reference card and manual is skip blank lines on or off. As we read, if the Braille and Speak is set to skip blank lines, it simply means that as we go forward reading line by line, we will not hear a plink as we cross paragraph marks or numbers of blank lines as we come to the end of one page and the start of another. But there may be times when we want to hear every blank line for whatever the reason, and we can. We turn off the skipping of blank lines. To do this, we enter an AND sign chord, followed by a Y for yes, skip blank lines, or an N, no, do not skip blank lines. It's dots 1, 2, 3, 4, 6 chord.
Skip blank lines, enter Y or N.
And we enter N.
Okay.
And it says okay. Remember earlier when we jumped by a number of lines, we jumped 44 lines from the top of the file and landed on unprotect macros. Let's do it again and see what happens.
Enter number of lines to move. 4, 4.
Oops, that's a blank line. Let's go forward one line.
Unprotect macro center rotor.
Ah, there it is. So before we were skipping blank lines, not counting them. When we did that, we were placed on the first line containing text. This time, because we had skipping blank lines turned off, we did in fact land on a blank line, or at least on the return character marking the start of what would be the next line. Let's go to the top of the file.
Top of file.
Read the current line.
Help file.
I went forward with dot 4 chord and we heard that plink. Now, recall that earlier we did that when we went forward one word at a time. This time we were going a line at a time and heard the plink, and that's because the skipping of blank lines was turned off. Blank lines are not skipped, they are made known to us. The next command is speak from cursor to end of file, which is to say read everything, say all mode. That is the ER sign chord, dots 1, 2, 4, 5, 6 chord. If you need a little memory aid, entire read or everything read or something like that. I won't read the entire file, but we'll start at the beginning.
Top of file.
And I'll enter ER sign chord.
Help file writing and reading functions, uppercase next character rotor, uppercase lock rotor, uppercase unlock rotor, overwrite one character, 2, 4, 6, tech 4, 5, current line, signet.
And so on. I stopped it with an E chord and it made that little pop click. If you want your Braille and Speak to read the entire document to you, just enter ER chord, sit back, and enjoy it or stop it whenever you hear something you want to check more closely. The next command deals with cursor location. We've talked about the cursor moving its way through the file by character, word, line, paragraph, and so on, but there are times when we want to know just exactly where within a document the cursor happens to be. There is a command which will tell us this. It is the WH sign chord. Earlier, we jumped forward by 44 lines to unprotect macros.
Enter number of lines to move. 4, 4, unprotect macro center rotor.
All right, how far into that file are we? When we press the WH sign chord, dots 1, 5, 6 chord, we hear
column 1, cursor at 1,281.
Column 1, cursor at 1,281. Why column 1?
U.
That's for unprotect, the U of unprotect. Let's back up one space.
Return.
Ah, that's why. The first digit, the first number, tells us how far we are from the last carriage return, from the start of the line. And the second number tells us how far we are from the top of the file. We'll go through the word unprotect to the word to the O of protect.
U-L-P-R-O.
Now, let's do it again.
Column 5, cursor at 1,285.
Column 5, U-N-P-R-O, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, from the last carriage return, and 1,285 characters in from the start of the file. This information doesn't tell us two things. It doesn't tell us either how large the file is, nor does it tell us how much room is left in the file. To learn the size of the file in terms of actual characters, we'd have to go to the end of it.
End of file.
Dots 456 chord does that, and then WH chord.
Column 0, cursor at 4,056.
4,056. If we enter an R chord, no matter where we are in the file, it'll tell us how much room is left in the file.
Room left is 39.
If we could write in this file, and we cannot, and that's why it's good practice for reading at the beginning, there would be room for 39 more characters. I'll go to the top of it.
Top of file.
Do R chord again.
Left is 39.
And that doesn't change. There are only 39 character spaces free in that file. Later, when we get into the writing of text, we'll want to know how much room we have on a page, or at least where we are on a page. There's a command for that, too. And that's the SH sign chord, dots 146 chord. In order for that command to work, we have to have certain print format parameters or working conditions set up, and we haven't learned to do this yet. So we'll be patient, and we will get to it all in good time. I mentioned this just a few seconds ago, but to move to the top of our file, it's an L chord. All the keys to the left of the spacebar and the spacebar itself.
Top of file.
And to move to the end of the file, to the bottom, it's dots 456 chord, dots 456 in the space bar.
End of file.
So if we need to quickly go either to the beginning or the end of the file, we can do it with L chord.
Top of file.
Or dots 456 chord.
End of file.
One feature that you'll be using to a considerable extent as you work with your Braille and Speak Classic is the ability to find text within a document. Sometime we read in order to take in all of the material contained in a document, and sometimes we simply want to search a document for a specific bit of information. It may be a name, address, a phone number, or a sentence or phrase. We begin our search effort with an F chord, F as in find. We then write the text for which we are searching, and if we are searching from our present location forward toward the end of the document, we end our search string with E chord. Once again, we go to the top of our help file.
Top of file.
Now I'm going to look for Blazy, as in Blazy Engineering.
Enter text to find.
That's what I hear when I enter F chord. Enter text to find. I'll write
B-L-A-Z-I-E. Blazy Engineering.
There it is. How far are we from the top of the file?
Column 1, cursor at 3,946.
We're 3,946 characters into our file. So we've come a long way quickly. Now, it isn't necessary to write the entire text to find. In order to find Blazy, I didn't have to write B-L-A-Z-I-E.
Enter text to find B-L-A-Z.
Let's look for just that much.
Blazy Engineering.
Yep, there it is.
Column 1, cursor at 3,946.
That's enough to make Blazy unique. Let's try again.
Enter text to find B-L-A.
Will that work?
Like lines 1, 2, 3, 4, 6, toward left, turn Y slash and right, turn.
No.
And lazy engineering.
Ah, there it is.
Column 1, cursor at 3,946.
Five, four, three, two, one. In searching for a block of text, we can enter as many as 63 characters into our search block or search string. And as I say, if we are searching in a forward direction, end the command with E chord. I have a longer file in my Braille and Speak. It's in fact 8 Braille and Speak pages long. Near the very end of that file, at about the 30,000 character mark, is a town called Pleasant Hill, California, with a zip code of 94523. So I'm going to search for CA space number sign 94523, because that's how you write numbers in Braille. So here we go.
Enter text to find CA space number sign 94523. Not found.
Oops, but I thought it was there. And in fact, it was. Between the two-letter abbreviation for the state name and the zip code are 2 spaces. I deliberately entered only 1. Your search string must be exactly the way it's written within your document.
Enter text to find CA space space number sign 94523. Nine, four, five, two, three.
Here's the entire thing.
Pleasant Hill, 94523.
You may have heard that click, click, click as it was searching. That was called a progress click, and it's to let you know that Braille and Speak is still working on your command and hasn't crashed. The way to search in a backward direction, if you happen to be near the end of a file and know that the text for which you are looking is nearer the top, is to proceed as usual, except that you end your command with a TH sign chord instead of an E chord. Once again, I'm back to the end of our good old help file, and I'm going to search for just those words, help file.
Enter text to find H-E-L-P space F-I-L-P.
And now I'll end with a TH sign chord.
Help file 14567 close it.
That's not the one I intended us to find. I was looking for the one at the top of the file. Find commands remember the search string, so I will simply do an F chord.
Enter text to find.
And end with a TH chord without writing help file again.
Help file.
There it is, maybe. Let's check.
Help file.
Now the next line.
Writing and reading functions.
There it is. Okay, now, knowing what we know, what can we do to make the words help file unique? Remember, the first time it found it, it said some words immediately following, which meant that the words help file were not all there was on that line. So, help file at the top of the file ended with a return. So let's search this way.
Enter text to find H-E-L-P space F-I-L-P.
And now?
New line.
That's a carriage return character, which marked the end of it the first time. So now we search backward with a TH sign chord.
Help file.
All right, let's check. Current line.
Help file.
Next line.
Writing and reading functions.
Sure enough. The words new line are what Braille and Speak says whenever a carriage return is entered and it is in the key echo mode. The last command in our reading activities list is distinguish case during find. Now this command does not apply to text written in grade 2 Braille. If you want to find a capital B in grade 2, you must look for .6B. The distinguishing of case has to do with text written in ASCII Braille. Appendix A in the manual will give you the ASCII equivalents for letters, numbers, and punctuations. Way back at the beginning, we said that the Braille and Speak keyboard is electronic, and for that reason the space bar is able to act sort of as a shift key. As we read through the start of the help file, you heard uppercase next character U chord. To write a capital letter L in ASCII Braille, you'd write U chord followed by the letter L. In that case, the U chord would act as the shift key on a typewriter, causing just the next character to be written as a capital letter. All this is by way of background for the distinguishing of case during find. To set the Braille and Speak up to do this, we enter the THE sign chord, the dots, 2, 3, 4, 6 chord, followed by Y, yes, do distinguish case during find, or N, no, do not. Here we go.
Distinguish case during find, enter Y or N. Okay.
I entered the letter Y and it said okay. Let's look again for Blazy.
Enter text to find the L-A-Z. Not found.
Not found. But did you notice the way it said Blazy? It said B-L-A-Z in the same tone. Let's try it again.
Enter text to find uppercase.
There it is. The B in Blazy is capitalized. The first time I looked for it as a lowercase b, it was not found because it wasn't a lowercase b. The ability to distinguish case while searching can be extremely useful in looking for headings, keywords, and so on. I remember once when I worked at another job, we prepared a city street directory for a public safety dispatcher. In that directory, when a street was the street to be searched, its name was written in uppercase. Other times when it occurred, either as an intersecting street or the terminator of another street, its name was in lowercase. Thus, Jefferson Street might appear 300 times, but only once did it appear in uppercase. So if he was looking for Jefferson Street, he would have his Braille and Speak set for distinguish case during find and search for uppercase Jefferson. Then if he looked for 18th Street and it happened to cross Jefferson, it just didn't matter because that Jefferson would have been in lowercase and he would never find it at all. And now we're on the verge of the very thing for which you've been waiting all this time, the writing of text. Writing activities. In order to write text on your Braille and Speak, you must write within a file. We've been reading within the help file, and if you try to write within that file, you'd find out very quickly that you can't. I'm going to write the word hello, or at least I'm going to try to.
File is write protected.
File is write protected. The file is protected against your being able to write in it. So, we need to have a place to write. There will be a detailed discussion of files later, but for now, here is just enough to give you some working space. On your Braille and Speak, enter O chord.
Option.
The letter F.
Enter file command.
And now the letter C to create.
Enter file to create.
Now please write the word practice.
P-R-A-C-T-I-C.
And follow it with an E chord.
Enter file size.
Enter file size. We'll enter the digit 1, that is Braille.2.
1.
And we have to finish that with an E chord because the Braille and Speak doesn't know whether we mean 1, 10, 11, 12, and so on. So we've done 1, we'll do an E chord.
Translator. Enter Y or N.
All right, now we can choose whether or not to write in grade 2 Braille. Probably this is what you'll be doing most of the time, but for now, let's tell it no, we do not want to use grade 2 Braille. You'll see why shortly.
And practice now open.
Now let's review. You entered O chord. Braille and Speak said option. You entered the letter F, not a chord, just the letter F for file. Braille and Speak said enter file command. You are in a file menu. Available to you will be a list of commands, which you'll learn later. And you wanted to create a file, so you entered the letter C. Braille and Speak said, enter file to create, meaning, okay, you want to create a file. What do you want to call it? It's like writing the name of a file on a file folder. We named it practice, and Braylon Speak said, okay, you've named it, now how much room, how much of my memory do you want to set aside in which to write? We told it one Braylon Speak page, 4,096 characters worth of room. Having done that, we were asked, use grade 2 Braille, enter Y or N, meaning, do you want to write in grade 2 Braille and have your text translated back from Braille into ordinary text for printing? We told it no, and here we are, ready to go to work. The first three activities we'll be engaging in have to do with writing in uppercase. Now, this has to do with writing in ASCII Braille, not Braille grades 1 or 2. In Braille grades 1 or 2, certain signs called composition signs are used. Dot 6, the capital sign that tells you that the letter following it is an uppercase or capital letter, is a sign peculiar to Braille. It does not exist in ink print. The double capital sign, indicating that the entire word is in Braille, also does not exist in print. In print, the letters have different shapes. They're uppercase, they're lowercase. To place a letter in uppercase when you're writing in ASCII Braille, you enter U chord. When you do that, the next character that you print, if it's a letter, will be placed in uppercase or capitalized. If you have your speech echo on, you'll hear the difference immediately between an uppercase and lowercase letter. First, I'll enter U chord.
Uppercase.
Now the letter A.
A.
Now a lowercase A.
A.
Did you hear the difference?
A. A.
The uppercase A was voiced, as I wrote it, in a higher pitch than the lowercase A. Doing this, entering U chord, and then writing a letter is like holding down the shift key on a typewriter when you type a single character. As soon as you let up on the shift key, you're back in lowercase. Carrying this shift key example a step further, to lock into uppercase, to place everything in uppercase, you enter U chord twice, and that's twice in succession. The first time you hear
uppercase,
the second time
uppercase locked.
Now everything I write will be in uppercase.
A, B, C, D, E, F, G.
And so on. To leave uppercase, if you've been locked into that mode, you simply enter a Q chord.
Uppercase unlocked, okay. A, B, C, D, E.
Sure enough, there we are, back in lowercase. Why would you want to write in ASCII Braille instead of grade 2? Well, there can be several reasons, one of them being that you haven't learned grade 2 Braille yet. Another can be that you want, for whatever reason, one-to-one correspondence between the characters you write and the characters that are reproduced by the Braille and Speak as it prints out your text. ASCII letters, numbers, and punctuation marks will be found in Appendix A of the manual. Possibly you've been writing along with me, maybe you haven't. If you have written into your file, you know how to go to the top of the file with an L chord. Please do it now.
Top of file.
And enter three strokes. First, the letter D chord.
Enter delete parameter.
Enter delete parameter. Now, enter the letter Z as in zebra, just Z by itself.
All.
It said all, and now E chord.
Okay.
All right, we have cleared the file out. Read the current line.
File is empty.
And you find that the file is empty. Now please write the first seven letters of the alphabet with spaces in between them.
A, space, B, space, C, space, B, space. Space, F, space, G.
So, now, if you read the current line, which you learned how to do in the last section,
A, B, C, D, F, G.
That's what you should hear. We want to take up the overwriting of a single character. Using the command that lets you move forward by character, that is the dot 6 chord, move forward until you hear the letter C spoken.
Space, B, space,
and there you are. Now, to overwrite a single character. That is, to replace one character with another without moving your cursor, you use the overwrite command. Overwrite, O for over, W for write. It's the OW sign chord, dots 2, 4, 6 chord. When you enter it, you hear
overwrite.
All right, now, right where you are, please enter the letter W.
W.
Now go back to the top of your file, L chord.
Top of file.
And forward. First, let's read the current character with dots 3, 6 chord.
A.
Now forward with dots, with dot 6 chord.
Space. B. Space. W.
You see, our C is gone.
Space. B.
Yep, sure enough, it's gone.
Space. W.
I backed up to the letter C. Now we have A, B, W, D, E, F, G. And that's the command to use when you want to replace one character with another. Now, if you want to be in a continuous overwrite mode, that is one that will let you replace letter after letter without you having to move forward and look at each one, you can enter continuous overwrite mode. To do that, you press the overwrite chord twice in succession.
Overwrite. Continuous overwrite.
Let's go to the top of the file. First, let's leave this mode. Press it a third time.
Off.
And it says off. Go to the top of your file, please.
Top of file.
Now, we're on the letter A. Check with dot 3-6 chord.
A.
Sure enough. Okay. Back into continuous overwrite mode. The overwrite command twice in succession.
Overwrite. Continuous overwrite.
Now, write H-I-J-K-L-M-N. What's going to happen is that you'll hear two letters voiced.
Overwrite H space.
Overwrite H space. It said we are overwriting with the word H, with the letter H. The space is the next one that we'll be overwriting. We want to leave the space there, so enter space.
Overwrite space B.
Now we'll be removing the B. It will tell you the character that you're going to be removing next. So enter I.
Overwrite I space.
Overwrite I. Overwrite, then the word I, because that's the letter you entered. Now space.
Overwrite space W.
And now we're going to be replacing our W with a J. H-I-J.
Overwrite J space. Overwrite space.
K.
Overwrite, A, space, overwrite, space, D.
Space, L.
Overwrite, L, space, overwrite, space, F.
M.
Overwrite, M, space, overwrite, space, G. Overwrite, L, end of file.
And that's as far as we can go because we've come to the end of the file. It may seem a little confusing, and it is, but let's go back to the top of our file.
Top of file.
And read the current line again. Remember the last time we had A, B, W, D, E, F, G. Now we have
H, I, J, K, L, M, N.
If you have key echo turned off, the voicing of keystrokes as you enter them turned off, you're still going to hear first the character that you have entered in the overwrite process, and then the character that will be overwritten next if the process continues. This command is useful for replacing one group of letters with another without having to delete one set first and inserting another. It's like the overtype mode in a word processor if you're familiar with those. Remember to leave the overwrite, the continuous overwrite mode, simply once you're in it, entering the OW sign chord, the dots 2, 4, 6 chord again, causes you to leave and causes BrailleSpeak to say the word off, meaning this feature is turned off. Next we have the tab command. If you enter dots 4, 5 chord, your BrailleSpeak Classic will say
column.
Column. If you consider lines of text as rows, the character positions along the line are columns. If you look at them vertically from top to bottom on your page, there would be columns starting at the left. What that word column is Braille and Speak's way of asking you, into what position do you want me to place you, ready to write your next character? Go to the top of your file and delete everything. L chord for top of file.
Top of file.
Then, as we did before, D chord for delete.
Enter delete parameter.
Z for all, Z as in Zulu.
All.
Then E chord.
Okay.
Now enter your dots 4-5 chord.
Column.
And we have the column prompt. Oh, just write 1-7.2 for 1.
1.
And then a dropped G for the 7.
7.
And E chord.
Tap.
And we hear the word tab. Now, enter the WH chord and find out where you are.
Column 15, cursor at 15.
Hey, wait a minute. Column 15, cursor at 15, but we said 17. What's going on? All right, go to the top of your file.
Top of file.
Now, look first at the current character with dots 3-6 chord.
Space.
1. Now count forward with dot 6 chord.
Space.
2.
Space.
3.
Space.
4.
Space.
5.
Space.
6.
Space.
7.
Space.
8.
Space.
9.
Space.
10.
Space.
11.
Space.
12.
Space.
13.
Space.
14.
Space.
15.
Space.
16.
End of file.
And that's all. But if we enter one more character, let's say the letter L, that will in fact be in column 17. It indicates the position in which the next character you write is going to be placed. It indicates the column position of that character. Now please enter dots 4-6 chord. You'll be finding out more about that later. That's a carriage return. It'll say new line.
New line.
And tab again. This time,
column.
Write the number 12. 1.
1.
2.
2.
Followed by E chord.
Tap.
And look at where you are with the WH sign chord.
Column 11, cursor at 28.
Column 11, but again, we asked for 12. The tabs are counted either from the start of your file or from the previous carriage return. If you haven't entered a carriage return yet, your first tab will be counted from the start of your file. Once you've written a carriage return, dots 4-6 chord, tabbing will be counted from that location. That tab that we've just entered, that 12, means that the first character that you write after that tab will be placed in column 12 from the start of the line. If you have written text beginning at the start of a line and decide you want to move it over a certain number of spaces, you can go to the start of that text and tab, and it will insert that number of spaces, moving your text over by the value you have set. On the other hand, if you are at the start of your line not inserting text and just enter a tab value, that number of spaces will be appended to the end of your file. To see it in action, write the alphabet A, B, C, D, E, F, G, on through Z. Go to the start of that line, that is to say, read the current line and tab 10, and you'll find that after your Z, there will be 10 spaces. Tab does work in the insert mode, which you'll be learning shortly. Next up for your consideration is the carriage return, or the start of line marker. Remember, we said a line was a block of text bounded by a carriage return or carriage return line feed pair. Well, this is how you produce the carriage return with dot 4-6 chord. It's a chorded version of the Braille decimal or the ASCII period. Please go to the top of your practice file.
Top of file.
Delete everything with D chord.
Enter delete parameter.
Z.
All.
E chord.
Okay.
Now, please write 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Now, dots 4-6 chord.
New line.
Braille and Speak says new line. 6, 7, 8, 9, 0.
6, 7, 8, 9, 0.
Now, new line again, dots 4-6 chord.
New line.
9876.
9876.
New line.
New line.
54321.
54321.
New line again.
New line.
Now let's look at what we've done. Please go to the top of your file.
Top of file.
And read the current line.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
That's as far as we can go.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
If we used the ER sign chord, the everything read chord, we'd hear it all.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 0, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Now we should be at the end of our file. Read the current line, please.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
All right, back up a line with A chord.
9, 8, 7, 6.
Again.
6, 7, 8, 9, 0.
Again.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Again.
Top of file.
There we are. Now, we ended our file with a new line command, dots 4-6 chord. Do another one, please.
New line.
Now write Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. For practice, be sure to put the S, M, and the T in uppercase. Sunday.
Uppercase. S, U, N, D, A, Y. Space.
Monday.
Upper M, O, N, D, A, Y. Space.
Tuesday.
Upper T, U, E, S, D, A, Y.
New line.
New line.
Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Uppercase. W, E, D, N, D, S, D, A, Y. Space. Uppercase. T, A, U, R, S, D, A, Y. Space. Uppercase. F, R, I, D, A, Y.
New line twice.
New line. New line.
Now, Saturday.
Uppercase. S, A, D, U, R, D, A, Y.
New line.
New line.
And that's the end. Now, please go to the top of the file.
Top of file.
Read the current line.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Now move to the next paragraph with dots 5-6 chord. Before you do, what would you expect to hear? Remember where we placed our two consecutive carriage returns. All right, let's do it.
Sunday, Monday, Tuesday.
Oh, yes. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, the start of the week. Now go ahead to the next paragraph. Remember where we placed two in a row.
Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Now back a paragraph with dots 2-3 chord.
Sunday, Monday, Tuesday.
Back a paragraph again.
Top of file.
When we read Saturday as the start of our final paragraph and backed up one, why did Braille and Speak Classic not show us Saturday? That's because Saturday would have been the current paragraph. We have no current paragraph command, but we do have a current line command. But we would have to back up to the first occurrence of two carriage returns, and that would, in fact, have been at Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. It's the carriage return markers that marked our place for the identification and location of paragraphs, as well as of new lines. These can be very helpful in taking notes, separating them, separating topics, and quickly locating important points when the time comes to review or print notes. Though the Braille and Speak has only 7 keys, you still are able to write all of the 96 printable characters and 32 control characters available in the ASCII table. And what, pray tell, is a control character? Well, you've just had experience with two of them. One of them is the tab, control I, and one is the carriage return, control M. On a typewriter, when you come to the end of a line, you either move the carriage back by hand or press a button which causes a motor to activate and whisk the carriage back to the start of the next line. That key is called a return key, and the character that the Braille and Speak sends out to a printer telling it to do the same thing is a control M, a carriage return character. For your convenience, dots 4-6 chord enters this command. But there are 31 other characters that are called control characters. To be able to enter each of these, you use X chord followed by the appropriate symbol. For example, you'll be hearing about the escape character if you do much with computers. That is the control symbol followed by the OW sign, X chord followed by dots 2, 4, 6. Not a chord. The only chord there is the X chord. The bell signal is Control G, that is to say Xcord G. I have now two Braille and Speaks connected to each other, and on machine A, I'm going to enter a Control G, and you're going to be listening to machine B. Listen. Now three in a row. Not much of a bell, is it? Still, that is the bell command, and it is used to indicate the start of a message, to separate messages. Some word processors use it for other things, but that's a control character. Xcord in the control mode acts very much like the U chord in shifting into uppercase. It says the key that follows, the character that follows, is a control character. Another control character is the backspace character. If you write control H on your Braille and Speak, it will not backspace. It will serve only to transmit the backspace character to another device. If you want to backspace within your own text, use a B chord, B for backspace chord. What happens is that characters are removed one at a time, and each time you enter the backspace character, you hear another character voiced. That is the character which will be removed next. If the backspacing process continues, you're not hearing the character you have just removed. You're hearing the character you will remove at the next entry of the backspace signal. It's B chord, B for backspace. To see the backspace in action, please go to the end of our practice file. Now, look at the current character with dots 3-6 chord.
Return.
That is the carriage return that we placed at the end of the word Saturday. Now please enter a B chord and you should hear the letter Y spoken.
Right.
All right, now enter dots 3-6 chord to look at the current character.
Right.
Go forward with dot 6 chord.
End of file.
And there we are at the end of the file. Confirm with dots 3-6 chord.
Yeah,
uh-huh. There's the Y of Saturday. Now, keep going until you hear the word return again. Keep doing the B chord until you hear return.
A, B, R, U, T, A, S, return.
Now the entire word Saturday is gone. Check with dots 3-6 chord.
Return.
And since our cursor is on a return character, dot 3-6 chord.
Return.
Let's go back one line.
Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
And forward a line.
End of file.
And there is no Saturday. Continue backspacing and stop when you hear the I of Friday.
Return. Y. A. B. I.
Stop there. Now read the current line.
Wednesday, Thursday, Frid.
Frid. It doesn't say Frid or Frida. The D was removed. Go forward a word at a time.
Thursday, Frid.
Let's look at Frid more closely with dots 2-5 chord twice. Remember, we want it to spell the current word.
Frid. F-R-I.
You see? That's how backspace works. It nibbles away at text in a right-to-left direction starting at the end of your file. You cannot backspace in the middle. If you find an error, you either have to overwrite or do a combination of delete and insert, which we'll be considering next. We can delete or remove text by character, that is, by a single element, a letter, number, punctuation mark, and so on, by word, by line, in its entirety, or from where we are to a mark, which we will have set. The sequence works like this. We enter D chord for delete, as we've done before, and then we're asked to enter the delete parameter. For character, we enter C, for word, W, for line, L, for paragraph, P, for everything, as we have done, Z, And if we want to delete to a mark, we must first have set a mark, and then we use the letter M to indicate that we want to delete from wherever we are to that mark. The command is then followed with an E chord. The only chord in the command would be the D chord at the start and then the E chord at the close. In addition to C, W, L, P, M, or Z, we can enter numbers. Without a number, one is assumed. If we delete a word, it's one word. If we want to delete seven words, it's D chord, W7, E chord. Two lines, it's D chord, L2, E chord. In our practice file, go to the top of the file, please.
Top of file.
Now, let's practice our find capability. Look for WED in Wednesday. Find, F chord.
Enter text to file.
WED. E chord.
Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
All right. Move forward to Friday.
Thursday, Friday.
All right. Now, delete three characters. That is D chord, C3, E chord, all taken together.
Enter delete parameter.
That was the D chord, C.
Character.
Three. E chord.
Okay.
Now, read the current line again.
Wednesday, Thursday.
You see, the fri is gone. Now, please read the current line.
Wednesday, Thursday.
Our cursor is parked on the W of Wednesday.
W.
Please delete two words. D chord, W2, E chord. D chord.
Enter delete parameter.
W. Word. Two. E chord.
Okay.
Now, look at the current line.
End of file.
All right, let's back up a line.
Sunday, Monday, Tuesday.
Now, forward.
End of file.
That line is gone. We did it by deleting just two words, but that's all there happened to be in the line. All right, back up, please.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
And move your cursor forward to the 3.
4, 3.
Now, delete two characters again. We'll be deleting the 3 and the 2. D chord.
Enter delete parameter.
C.
Character.
2.
2.
E chord.
Okay.
Now read the current line. Now you should see that 3 and 2 are gone if everything turned out according to plan.
5, 4, 1.
Mm-hmm. And so it did. It's the first time that's ever happened. Well, not really. That's just to see if you were paying attention. Now please go to the top of your file.
Top of file.
And read first the current line, and then go forward one line. So you'll be reading the top two lines of the file, one at a time.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 0.
Back to the top of your file, please.
Top of file.
Now, please delete 10 characters. D chord.
Enter delete parameter.
The letter C.
Character.
1, 0.
1, 0.
Now, E chord.
Okay.
Now let's look at the current line.
0.
Hey, wait a minute.
Top 0.
Yeah, that's what's there. All right. We had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 0. That's 10 characters, isn't it? Yes, it is. But there was a return character between the 5 and the 6, remember? And we deleted 10 characters. So we deleted 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, return 6, 7, 8, 9, leaving the 0 untouched. Control characters count when we are deleting characters, so be sure that you know the exact number of characters you intend to delete if you plan to delete by character. By the way, 255 is the maximum number of characters, words, lines, or paragraphs that you can delete in this way. All right, let's go to the top. And we are there with our 0.
0.
Delete one paragraph. D chord.
Enter delete parameter.
P.
Paragraph.
E chord.
Okay. Top of file.
Let's look again.
Sunday, Monday, Tuesday.
Mm-hmm. All of that number business at the top of our file is gone because we separated it from the Sunday, Monday, Tuesday with a second carriage return. All right, let's just delete everything now. What's in the file? Let's look. Read everything.
Sunday, Monday, Tuesday.
Well, that's not much, but let's delete it all anyway. Go to the top of the file and delete.
Enter delete parameter.
Z, we've done it before.
Alt.
E chord.
Okay.
And it should say file is empty.
File is empty.
Having deleted everything, that puts us in a very clever position of being able to take up the next topic, which is the inserting of text. Before we have anything to insert, we have to have a place in which to insert it. So if you will, please write the month of the year, all in a row, January through December, with only a space between each month. No commas, nothing, just the space. January, February, March, April, and so on through December. And also, please do not put them in uppercase. Just write them in lowercase with a space between each month. All right, if we have done our work well, we should be able to go to the top of the file.
Top of file.
And read, well, the current line will do. And it should sound like this.
January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November, December.
Now first, find June, or June. Do an F chord from the
top of file.
From the top of the file. F chord.
Enter text to file.
J-U-N-E.
J-U-N-E. June, July, August, September, October, November, December.
Now, we should be sitting on the J of June.
J.
And we are. Move one space to the left with dot 3, please.
Space.
There we are. Enter overwrite. This is not quite inserting, but be patient.
Overwrite.
Now, dots 4-6 chord.
Return.
All right. Now, go to the top of the file and please read the current line.
Top of file. January, February, March, April, May.
All right. Well, that's pretty nice. Now go forward with dot 4 chord.
June, July, August, September, October, November, December.
All right. We're on the J of June.
J. June.
And we go forward with a dot 6 chord. You'll find a space then.
Space.
After June. Now find the J of July. Next space.
J.
Enter I chord for insert.
Insert mode active.
Now write summer begins in June.
S-U-M-M-E-R space B-E-G-I-N-S space I-N space J-U-N-E
space.
Space.
And then E chord.
Okay.
Now again, go to the top of the file, please.
Top of file.
And read everything.
January, February, March, April, May, June, summer, begins in June, July, August, September, October, November, December.
All right, we've inserted a little block of text that said summer begins in June, just before the month of July. There's a space between June and the word summer, and a space between begins in June, the E of June, and the J of July. If we have enough room in the clipboard, and if we have enough room in our file, we can just keep writing in the insert mode, the I chord mode. And what happens is this. We place our cursor on the very first character of text that we want our insert to move forward. It is as though we were writing on a long strip of tape, and we just cut the tape, spliced another strip of tape in there with the inserted text on it, and then joined them again in such a way that the cut and splice marks are not noticeable. Let's go back to March. You find it as you like. If you're forward of it, you may want to find with backward search. Just do whatever you can to find March, and place your cursor on the M of that month. Now, please change the lowercase m of March to uppercase, and you do that, you can either delete one character and insert another, or you can take the easy way out and do an overwrite.
Overwrite.
U chord.
Uppercase.
M.
M.
March.
March. M-A-R-C-H. Space.
See? March plus the space, because it's a word, boundary, and we've done it. Do dots. 2-5 chord again to hear the word March. It may spell it for you this time, but get back to the pronunciation of the word march anyway.
March.
Now, insert.
Insert mode active.
And write, spring begins on the 21st.
S-P-R-I-N-G, space, G-I-N, space, O-N, space, D-A-D, space, 2-1, S-T.
And follow it with a space.
Space.
E chord.
Okay.
Now read the current line.
January, February, spring begins on the 2-1, S-T, March, April, May.
That's not right. It should be spring begins on the 21st of March. So find 21st.
Enter text to find 21st, 21st, March, April, May.
And go forward to the M of March, because that's the first bit of text we want moved forward.
21st, space, M.
And there's our uppercase M. Now, insert mode.
Insert mode active.
The words of March space.
O F space. Uppercase M A R C H space.
Now E chord.
Okay.
All right, now let's see if that doesn't read a bit better. Current line.
January, February, spring begins on the 2-1st of March, April, May.
All right, that's a lot better. That makes much more sense. And that is the way insert works. I chord, write your text, finish with E chord. Now, we didn't delete to a mark, but let's set a mark. Let's go somewhere and put a mark there. Find the word summer and set a mark on the S of summer. When we find that we are on the S of summer, we simply do an M chord.
Mark, okay.
And the Braylon speak says mark, okay. Now, go to the top of the file, please.
Top of file.
And jump to that mark with, remember, the number sign chord.
Enter number of lines to move.
And we're going to jump to M.
M, summer begins in June, July, August, September,
right.
October, November, December.
Now go to the end of the file.
End of file.
And do the same thing.
Enter number of lines to move. M, summer begins in June, July, August, September, October, November, December. End of file.
End of file again. Now let's delete to that mark. D chord.
Enter delete parameter.
M.
Mark.
E chord.
Okay.
Now look at your
top of file.
Text.
January, February, spring begins on the 2-1st day on March, April, May, June.
All gone. Now, please go to the top of your file and delete everything and check to see that it has worked.
File is empty.
Fine. Now, please write the days of the week from Sunday through Saturday with spaces between, followed by the months from January through December, again with spaces in between, and finish with a carriage return. Everything should be on one line with a carriage return at the end of that line. And I'll be waiting for you when you come back. Now, once you've done all this, what I'd like you to do is go to the top of your file, place your cursor on the S of Sunday, and set a mark with M chord. First, top of file.
Top of file.
Now check with dot 3/6 chord.
Yes.
Ah, there we are. So set an M, a mark with M chord.
Mark, okay.
Now move forward one word till you hear Monday.
Monday.
Check to see where your cursor is with dot 3/6 chord.
M.
It's on the M of Monday, and you'll notice I've written them all in lowercase. Now, do a GH sign chord, dots 1, 2, 6 chord.
Copied.
You hear the word copied. We have copied the block of text which is between our mark and the cursor. The cursor is actually just to the left of Monday, but to the right of the space that separates Sunday from Monday. So we've copied it. We've copied the block of text. Where has it gone? Well, let's look at the top of the file again.
Top of file.
And let's read the current word.
Sunday.
It's still there. Of course it is. We copied it. We didn't remove it. So where did it go? Well, actually, you'll be able to check this out for yourself later, but it's in the clipboard, at least temporarily. Whenever you copy a block of text, the copy exists in the clipboard. It doesn't remove the text from its original location. It simply makes a copy of it and places that copy in the clipboard. And the reason for doing that is so that you can do something else with that copy. What will we do? Well, 1995, the year 1995, begins on a Sunday. So let's find January. Now, when we do, Braille and Speak will want to read the entire rest of the line. Just stop it with an E chord.
Enter text to find J-A-N. January.
I located it by then using dots 2-5 chord. It stopped us on the current word. Now move forward a word to February.
February.
Now we're going to paste our copy right here. We're parked on February. Do an ing chord, dots 3-4-6 chord.
Okay.
All right. Now let's back up and look.
January. Sunday. February.
Well, okay. January begins on a Sunday. We have February. Let's first find Wednesday, and then mark Wednesday. Remember, park on the W of Wednesday, set a mark with M chord, go forward a word, and when you hear Thursday, do a GH chord, and it will say copied.
Enter text to find W, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, January, mark, okay, Thursday. Copied.
Now, I've marked and copied Wednesday. Now I'm going to find March, because I want to be beyond February.
Enter text, M-A-R, March, April, May, June.
All right. We'll paste with the dots 3-4-6 chord.
Okay. March, April.
Now, March also begins on a Wednesday, so if I move forward a word, it'll say March, and then when I move to April, if I repeat the paste exercise without having copied, because remember, Wednesday still abides in the clipboard, we should be all right. Let's just do a paste again, dot 3-4-6 chord.
Okay.
Now, find January. This would be a backward search.
Enter text to find J-A.
And then a TH sign chord.
January, Sunday, February, Wednesday, March, Wednesday, April, May, June, July.
And so on. January begins on a Sunday next year. February and March both begin on Wednesday. And we could work our way through the entire year, following each month with the name of the day of the week on which it begins. I won't carry this exercise through with you, but I will tell you about the rest of the year so that you can do it on your own. April, Saturday. May, Monday. June, Thursday. July, Saturday. August, Tuesday. September, Friday. October, Sunday. November, Wednesday. December, Friday. I will turn the recorder off, do the exercise, come back and play it for you, and then show you something else. All right. I have done it. I do write fast, you know. Let's go to the top of the file.
Top of file.
And read the current line.
Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, January, Sunday, February, Wednesday, March, Wednesday, April, Saturday, May, Monday, June, Thursday, July, Saturday, August, Tuesday, September, Friday, October, Sunday, November, Wednesday, December.
Wait, it's supposed to say December Friday. Why, let's look at that. Let's go forward a line.
Friday.
Oh, there it is. Why? What happened? Remember earlier I asked you to finish that line with a carriage return? You just can't trust some people. And that's what happened. When we went to the end of the file, we were beyond that carriage return, and when we pasted Friday in there, it was separated from the December as if it were the start of a new line, which is exactly what it was. If you back up one word, you'll hear the little mark of a carriage return. If we overwrite that with a space, or we can delete a character and insert a space, whichever you'd like.
Overwrite. Space.
I'm for doing things in the easy way, myself. Now let's look at...
December. Friday.
Mm-hmm. All right. But now, we still have our Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday up at the top. We don't need them. So let's find January.
Enter text to find J-A-N.
And back up with a TH sign chord.
January Sunday.
Now, place a mark there.
Mark, okay.
Top of file.
Top of file.
Now let's delete to the mark.
Enter delete parameter. Mark, okay.
Now let's go to the top.
Top of file.
And read the entire line.
January, Sunday, February, Wednesday, March, Wednesday, April, Saturday, May, Monday, June, Thursday, July, Saturday, August, Tuesday, September, Friday, October, Sunday, November, Wednesday, December, Friday.
Just as it was meant to be. And by the way, a mark is a very fragile plant. If you insert text after you have set a mark and before you do anything with it, you will have disturbed the mark. So if you're going to copy a block of text, if you're going to paste a block of text using a mark, be sure that setting the mark is just about the last thing you do before you do your cut and paste activity. When we copy a block of text, we place it in the clipboard in order to take action. If we insert between the time we copy our text and the time we paste it where we want it, we will have destroyed the text that is housed in the clipboard. The clipboard is not a good place to store things. It's not a warehouse. So having copied a block of text, if you change your mind and say, oh, wait, I want to do so-and-so first, then do so-and-so. But remember, you'll have to recopy your block of text in order to do your cut-and-paste activity. Now, suppose we wanted to move the days of the week around and not have them remain there untouched up at the top of the file. There will be times when we want to move text from one location to another and not let it continue to exist in its first location. Instead of copying a block of text, we do exactly as we did, except that instead of using the copy command, dots 1, 2, 6 chord, we delete to the mark, and then we very quickly move to where we want the text placed and do the ing chord, the paste command. The gh sign is the less than sign in ASCII Braille, so since it may be a preliminary to subtracting text, we use this as a kind of a memory aid. And then the ing chord, the ing is the plus sign, so we're going to add it somewhere else. This may help you remember the two commands. The less than may be a form of subtraction. It may not be, but it's the best we can do with the limited character set available. And then the plus chord, we add that which we have put in the clipboard to whatever location we choose. Mark your block of text, delete to the mark, and then very quickly go paste it, either in the same file or, when you learn more about files, in any other file of your choosing. And now a word about writing text in grade 2 Braille. We said when we created the file that no, indeed, we did not want to write in grade 2. Well, let's change our mind. We can at any time. One of the ways of doing this, we'll learn the other one later on, is to enter P chord, P for parameter.
Enter parameter.
T for translator.
Braille translator, enter Y or N.
Braille translator, enter Y or N. Yes, we want the Braille translator, so let's enter Y.
Okay.
If we were to read our practice file with the months and days, we would notice nothing. So let's delete that text. Top of file.
Top of file.
Delete everything.
Enter delete parameter. Oh, okay.
Now, let's begin to write in grade 2 Braille. I'm going to write, using grade 2 Braille, the question, what is your name? And I will voice every keystroke so you can hear it.
Dot 6. W-H-A-T space I. Space, Y, R, space, dot 5, L, O, H, space.
Now, Let's read that line.
What is your name?
With punctuation turned on.
Set speech parameters.
M for most punctuation.
Most punctuation.
E chord.
Exit.
Now, let's do it again.
What is your name? Question mark.
All right. And why did it do all that dot five and low H business? That's because when I wrote the dot five before the letter N for name, BrailleSpeak had no way of knowing whether I was going to say, what is your name? What is your day? What is your rights? What is your rights? Well, yeah, I could have. What is your time? What is your work? It did the best it could. It said dot five, which at least let me know which key I had pressed. And then when I wrote the letter N, it had gone beyond all that. Once it knew, because there was a space following the N, that that was a word, it would be able to read it as the word name. If we go forward,
top of file,
word by word.
What is your name? Question mark.
No problem. Similarly, with the low H, if for some reason I had made an error and continued to write without a space, that would not have been a question mark, and it would not have been translated as such. When you enter a period, that is going to be voiced as a low D, because if it happened to be an A period, BrailleSpeak wouldn't know whether you meant A period or had planned to write a word such as address or added or additional. So it did the best it could at the time until it received further information. Earlier, we talked about moving forward by paragraph. In print, a paragraph is a block of text marked by a pair of carriage returns or a pair of carriage return line feed combinations. Well, in Braille, it is not so. In Braille, a paragraph is a carriage return followed by two spaces. So if you want to look by paragraph, you have to do an F chord, return, space, space, E chord, and BrailleSpeak will take you forward to the next occurrence of that combination of characters. You have to be sure that your text uses pure carriage returns, because if there's a carriage return followed by a line feed, then you have to do F chord, X chord M, X chord J, space, space. A control J is a line feed, and if those are in your text, then you have to use those as a part of your search string. As you go through your text a character at a time, if you cross a line feed, BrailleSpeak will say line feed when it sees a control J. If you're not sure whether your text contains carriage returns only or carriage return line feed combinations, simply go forward a line and then use a dots 3/6 chord. You'll be on the first text character of the line, and back up to see whether you have return or line feed return. If you're going backward, chances are you'll hear line feed return. If you're going forward,
hello, question mark.
Well, hello. That was the BrailleSpeak reminding me that I hadn't touched the keyboard in 5 minutes. You'll learn about that later. If you're going backward, you'll hear line feed return. If you're going forward, you'll hear return line feed. In some rare cases, this is especially true if you've received text into your BrailleSpeak from a word processor, a paragraph will be return line feed, a few spaces, and then another return line feed and some spaces to mark the start of your new text. It's unusual, but it can happen. Now, in grade 2 Braille, if you have written the word nation and decide to delete it by character, you delete just 3 characters. You place it on the first character of the word nation and delete 3 characters. Although nation contains 6 characters in print, Braille is N.6N, and to delete by character, that's all you would want to remove. Chances are you'd want to delete by word anyway, but this is just to let you know what happens and how BrailleSpeak keeps account of internal text for purposes of deleting. Now, we're going to enter a very interesting topic, the topic of macros. M-A-C-R-O-S, macros. In a way, a macro is like a recording. When we write a macro, we prepare a number of keystrokes as if we had a recorder going that would keep a permanent record of these strokes and play them back whenever we asked it to. Your telephone may have a memory dialer which, at the press of a single button, dials an 11-digit number including 1, the area code, and the telephone number of someone hundreds or thousands of miles away. Well, with a macro, you can do that. You can write your name and address. You can even string macros together to do more than short bits of text. You can even cause it automatically to stamp the time or date into your text at any point. The command that begins and ends a macro is N, as in November, N chord. When you enter this key, Berlin Speak says, macro, enter a key. Now, the key it wants you to enter is the label you plan to use to identify that macro when you want to play it back again. During much of this recording, I've had the Braille and Speak set so that it would deliver only a few punctuations. It was set in the sum punctuation mode, and when I turn it on, it sounds like this under that condition.
Braille and Speak Classic Ready Practice 1-Page Braille File.
Recently, I set it to the most punctuation mode. Listen again as I turn it on.
Braille apostrophe and Speak Classic Ready Practice 1-Page Braille File.
We were told that Braille apostrophe and Speak Classic was ready, that the file named Practice was 1 page long, was a Braille file, and was open. Listen again, please.
Braille apostrophe and Speak Classic Ready Practice 1-Page Braille File.
Chances are that's the way your Braille and Speak sounds when you turn it on. But listen, I've written a macro that performs a relatively simple task. Now listen what you'll hear.
Braille apostrophe and Speak Classic Ready Practice 1-Page Braille File Option. The time is 12:49 p.m.
Hey, that's neat. It announced the time without my having to ask. But how can this be? I thought you'd never ask. There is one macro label, one key that we can enter that causes a macro to be played, performed, executed, to do its thing at power on, and that is the space key. When we enter N chord, it says macro enter a key. If we press the space bar, it will say recording. All I do then, I do two things. One is the V chord to say speak macros or verbalize macros, then just ask for the time and end the macro. First, I'm going to delete the macro altogether by entering N chord.
Macro enter 80. Recording.
Space bar.
Macro enter.
Now the macro is dead. That particular macro is no more. Here, I'll turn the Braille and Speak on.
Braille apostrophe and Speak Classic Ready Practice 1-Page Braille File.
It doesn't announce the time. I want to put that macro back. So, N chord.
Macro enter 80.
Space.
Recording.
V chord.
Speak macros.
O chord.
Option.
T.
The time is 12:51 p.m.
Now, I've recorded all that I want, so I finish with N chord.
Macro end.
Now we turn the Braille and Speak off, and we check our work by turning it back on.
Braille apostrophe and Speak Classic Ready Practice 1-Page Braille File Option. The time is 12:51 p.m.
Not bad. But if that's all we can do is just have it announce the time or do one simple chore at power up, well, that doesn't mean much, does it? However, the limitation of macros rests with us and our imagination. You can use any of the characters available in the Braille cell as your label. You can write up to 40 characters per macro, and you can string macros together. The command for playing back a macro is J chord, followed by the macro's label. For example, if I want to play back the macro we just wrote together, I would do J chord.
Macro.
It's saying, in effect, what macro do you want to play? Since I use the space as my label, I'll just hit the space bar.
Option. The time is 12:55 p.m.
And you hear that. Now if I hit the space bar.
Space.
It just says space. It's no longer a macro label. It's just a plain old
space
bar.
Macro option. The time is 12:55 p.m.
Next, let's write a macro that does a lot more. I'm going to write macro A, and under that label, I'm going to write American Printing House for the Blind, new line, P.O. Box 6085, new line, Louisville, Kentucky, 40206-0085, new line, telephone 800-223-1839. Now, I just said we could get 40 characters per macro, so how are we going to do all this? We're going to chain macro A to macro B, macro B to macro C, and we'll keep on until we have finished. Now, how do we do this? The command for playing the macro back is J chord, so instead of ending macro A with N chord, even though macro B hasn't been written, I'm going to have it chain to macro B. So I will finish macro A with J chord B. I will then write macro B and continue that process until we have finished this entire body of text. Chances are you won't want to write this specific macro, although you might do it for exercise, but it should serve as a model for you. Now, I'm going to begin, having entered the A for my macro label, with a K chord, which kills macro speech. You'll hear me write the keystrokes, but you'll not hear them when the macro is played back. I'm going to finish my macro, by the way, with a number of E chords. You'll see why when you hear the macro played back. So here we go.
Macro enter 80, recording, stuff, dot 6, A, M, E, R, I, C, A, N, space, dot 6, P, R, I, N, T, I, N, G, space, dot 6, H, O, U, S, E, space, 4, T, H, E, space, dot 6, B, L. New line, dot 6, P, low D, dot 6, O, low D, space, macro, 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 enter 80, recording, dot 6, B, O, X, space, number sign, 6, 0, 8, 5, new line, dot 6, L, O, U, I, S, V, I, L, L, E, dot 2, space, dot 6, K, Y, space, space, number sign, 4, 0, 2, 0, 6, macro, 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 recording. J, J, H, E, new line, dot 6, P, H, dot 5, O, low C, space, space, number sign, 8, 0, 0, dash, 2, 2, 3, dash, 1, 8, 3, 9, new line, macro, end.
Oops, I forgot to do the several E chords that I had intended. Well, let's play this one back and see how it sounds. First, I want to delete everything from the practice file.
Enter. Alt, OK.
Because, as I was writing that material, it was being recorded into the file. So now I'm going to do J chord A.
Macro. Top of file.
Now, let's see what we've got.
American Printing House for the Blind. P period O period dot 6085 Louisville comma Kai 40206-0085 phone call and 800-223-1839.
There were four lines there. Well, the fifth one is just a blank return. Let's play
top of file.
Line one.
American Printing House for the Blind.
Line two.
P period O period dot 6085
Line three.
Lawisville, Cuba, Kai 402060085.
Line 4.
Phone toll end 800-223-1839.
Made two mistakes. One, I didn't put the E chord at the end of the macro as I'd intended, and the other, in the zip code 40206.
402060085.
I didn't place a dash so that it would read
40206-0085.
I did that one simply by inserting a dash, but that doesn't help us if we want to use this macro over and over. We need to fix it. Unfortunately, gang, the way to do that is to write the whole thing over. Now, as I was writing the macro, you would have heard a plink and the next character written in a rather squeaky voice. That plink let me know that I was approaching the end of the number of characters available for that macro, and I'd better give serious thought to where I'm going to connect to the next macro. So, I'll do it again. I won't bore you with the details, but that's what can happen to you if you don't get it right. You just go back to square one and try again. I will do that and let you hear the result. I've done it, and actually I had to do it twice. Instead of trying to squeeze the ultimate drop out of the macro and pushing it as far as it will go, and forgetting where you left off when you connect to the next macro, I still only needed three macros, but I did American Printing House for the Blind, Return, and then switched to macro B, wrote P.O. Box 6085, Louisville, Kentucky. Somewhere along in there, it started to give a beep, so I did the zip code, a return, and the phone number, and three E chords in the third macro. End of side two. To continue, change side selector switch and turn the cassette over.